born again believer, because of the power of the indwelling spirit, every one of us can live a life that overcomes the world.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Perhaps few promises in Scripture give the believer greater confidence than that found in 1 John 5 verse 4. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This evening, we will hear Pastor Brian Grant describe three principles from the life of Gideon and how these same principles must also characterize the life habits of every believer who intends to achieve the kind of victories which God has already chosen for them. We invite you to listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, Overcoming Faith.
A woman had a heart attack. And sometimes, you know, some of my stories are not actual stories, okay? A woman had a heart attack and was rushed to a hospital. And while she was on the operating table, she had a near-death experience during which she thought she saw God. She asked him if her life was over, and he replied that he was giving her another 40 years, 2 months, and 8 days so that she could live for him. She was so thrilled, she decided to stay in the hospital and get a total refresh. She had a facelift, liposuction, a tummy tuck. She even had a hairstylist come and change her hairstyle and her hair color. And you know, it was now, she figured if since she had 40 more years to live, she may as well make sure she looked good so she could live it up. Well, after her total redo, it was time to leave the hospital. But as she was crossing the street, she was hit by a speeding ambulance. And poor soul was killed. Well, arriving back in God's presence, she said, "You promised me 40 more years. So what happened?" God replied, "Oh my, you made so many changes, I didn't recognize you. Now, please don't question my salvation, for that was just for humor. For God cannot make mistakes." Amen? There is no way that God won't know who you are, no matter how weak. The little song says, we cannot hide from God. Amen? No matter how weak. Some people try doing it, but we cannot hide from God. But the lady in this fictitious story illustrates the sad reality that quite often it's easier to drift with the world than to live for God. Because remember now, even in this fictitious story, there was a plan for her that she didn't want to carry out that plan. It's easier to live for the world rather to live for God. And so today, as we continue our series, God Has Made Us Champions, I want to continue this series on the book of Judges and bring a message to you this morning that I'm entitling Overcoming Faith. But before we go any further, I want to make sure we're on the same page. For some people have the wrong impression. In fact, some preachers give us the impression that overcoming faith is a special type of faith that's reserved only for a few very, very spiritual people. But that's not true. Because if you are a Christian, stay with me this morning, every Christian has an overcoming faith. You say, "Pastor, there you go again." Well, let's look at what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. A text we sometimes don't pay much attention to. But 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Here's how it reads. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. "For whoever is born of God," what? "Overcomes the world." Is that how your Bible reads? You may not be there yet. Are you there yet? 1 John chapter 5. I want to make sure you see it in your own Bible. This is not a bad scripture to mark for those of you who like marking your Bibles. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. "For whoever is born of God," what? "Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world," what? "Our faith." Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Listen, every believer can live a life that overcomes the world's pull, because at salvation, the Holy Spirit came to live in us. Amen. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, every born-again Christian can live a life that overcomes the world. Every born-again believer, because of the power of the indwelling Spirit, every one of us can live a life that overcomes the world. And today I want to share with you three principles about how to develop this faith that can overcome the world. Here's the first thing I want you to put to your notes. Overcoming faith is developed by dependence on God's strength. Overcoming faith is developed by dependence on God's strength. In Judges chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, we read this. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Harod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand had saved me. Overcoming faith is developed by dependence on God's strength. You know, although I may not look like I do, I actually have muscles. I just haven't developed them. I hope you know where I'm going. Because after we place our faith in Christ and we begin the Christian journey, the problem is too many of us do nothing to develop, amen, to develop what God has been doing in us, amen. And so this morning God wants to talk to us a little bit. Overcoming faith is developed by dependence on God's strength. We have got to develop the faith, what God wants to do in our lives. In Judges chapter 6, God sent Gideon to rescue Israel from the brutal Midianites. But Gideon was deathly afraid. For Midian had a large army of fierce fighters that had terrorized Israel for years. In fact, if you've been following along, you remember that when we started here in Judges chapter 6, Israel was so scared. They were hiding in dens and in caves and in all sorts of stuff. They were so afraid of these Midianites. So here we have it. Gideon and the Israelites are scared to death. And so Gideon, when God wants to challenge Gideon that he was to go and fight against them, Gideon decided, boy, I better play the fleece game. And you remember what he did? He laid that woolen fleece and he said to God, if it's really you and this is really what you want me to do, well, we're going to put the woolen fleece in the middle, and Lord, I want you to make the fleece wet and all the ground around it dry. God did it. And then he changed the rules, and Gideon said, well, God, this tonight, here's what I want you to do. I want everything to be wet and the fleece dry. And God did it again, because is there anything too hard for our God? Amen. There is absolutely nothing that's impossible with God. And so after Gideon saw all that God could do and would do, he saw the power of God up close. He realized he could depend on God. And so Gideon was now willing to fight, but he was facing some huge odds. For the Midianites had 135,000 battle-ready troops, and Israel only had 42,000 timid soldiers. That's not the normal course of events. You don't necessarily want to go to battle with 42,000 timid soldiers who have been spending time hiding in caves if you're up against 135,000 fierce fighters. But write this down in your notes. God will often test us to strengthen our faith in him. He will often test us to strengthen our faith in him. A man once said, faith is like a toothbrush. Everybody should have one and use it regularly, but it isn't safe to use somebody else's toothbrush. Did you get that? Although I use a toothbrush regularly, I only use my own. For as much as I love my wife, and as she loves me, can I tell you the truth? She does not want me using her toothbrush, nor do I want to use hers. Amen? It's okay to sing about the faith of our fathers, but we cannot develop spiritual muscles based on the faith of our father or our mother. Sometimes we love to point back to our parents. Listen, we must each develop our own spiritual muscles. Young people, teenagers, you have got to develop your own spiritual muscles. Thank God that you have parents who love Jesus, but you need to develop spiritual muscles for yourself. Amen? And listen, if you're going to get spiritual muscles, you can expect God to test you, because that's what he uses more often than not to develop muscle in us. You can expect God to test you. Every growing Christian will be tested. For Psalms 11:5 tells us that the Lord tests the righteous. Expect tests. Put this in your notes if you don't mind. A faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. Well, let me say it again since they've asked me to. I was going to say it anyhow. A faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. I sometimes wonder if part of the reason so many people walk away from God when they go to college is because their faith had never been tested. That's why we parents must make sure we're not so anxious to protect our kids from discomfort. Christian parents, stay with me now, because sometimes we are our children's worst enemy. We do everything to protect them from any sort of discomfort, and yet God is going to, wants to test your child, and usually God's tests cause us some discomfort. If we're not careful, we abort God's tests in our children's lives. Let them go and let allow God to test them. In fact, we need to be praying, oh God, please test my child so they can develop faith in you. Listen, instead of trying to protect them from the tests of God, I would encourage you to encourage them to do things that allow them to develop spiritual muscle. You know, one of the most impacting things on us as teenagers was a thing called Discover Jesus. And in Discover Jesus, we would go into all these little towns all over Jamaica, and those of us who had a car would drive our cars. We wanted to draw as much attention as we can, so we had a big motorcade coming. This is years ago. Not everybody had cars in Jamaica. In fact, it's still not everybody still does not, just in case you didn't know that. But so here we'd form these motorcades, and those of us who didn't have a car, we would walk behind the motorcade, and you know, we had tracks, we had all sorts of things, we had invitations, and we were trying to create a big stir in the town, and it all led to this, the town center, because in the town center, we would have a big gospel crusade. And listen, what a joy to have seen so many young and old come to know Jesus, because we had, you know, our parents had encouraged us to be a part of this exercise that made us very uncomfortable to be walking down the streets. Yes, although it wasn't Kingston where I lived, I still ran into some of my friends who lived in these towns. And there would be, of course, you'd feel sort of strange sometimes because your friends are, is that Grant? Yeah, so I just want to encourage you. I don't know what the issue is. What it might be that God would lead you to encourage your children to do, but Brothers and sisters in Jesus, we need to do more things to encourage our children and our teenagers. Let them do things that will help them to develop muscle, develop their faith in Jesus Christ. Because a faith that has never been tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. And this is why we send them off to college thinking they love Jesus. They have never been tested. And the next thing you know, that child has turned their back on Jesus. But here's the second thing I want you to write in your notes. Although God has chosen to use us, He can accomplish His purposes without us. I hope you realize that. He has chosen to use us. I'm so glad He has. Are you glad He has chosen to use you? It's a pity sometimes we act like we're not really excited because we're not involved. But what a privilege to be a servant of the Most High God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God does not need us. Serving God is a privilege. Sometimes I run into believers and they make it seem like they're doing God and the church a favor when they serve. Can I be frank? When you serve, you are not doing God a favor. I want to be candid. You're not doing the church a favor either. A Christian who serves with that attitude is more a hindrance than a blessing. So let's make sure this morning we get our act together and we start recognizing how privileged we are to serve. And to the degree I serve, it is easier to get my children to serve, because if I'm a bench warmer and I'm trying to get my child to go serve, come on now. You better be serving if you are hoping and praying that God will get a hold of your child and that child will want to serve. You had better be serving, but may God help us that we might encourage our children to serve. Listen, with 42,000 soldiers, success for Israel was unlikely. But as we just heard in the reading, the number was whittled down to how many? 300. The number was whittled down. God said, listen, you have far too many with 42,000. And so the number was whittled down. 20,000 or 22,000 went home because they were afraid. Okay. Thank God. Let me just say this. I wasn't going to say, but I'm going to say this. Thank God for the 22,000 who were still armed for battle, though they were afraid. Just because you are afraid. Brother Chuck Jones and I were chatting recently, and he reminded me of a day we were down in North Philly doing ministry, and I was on the sidewalk about to preach, and a gentleman came up, and I'll be honest with you, I'm glad I didn't wet my pants because I was so scared, because the man was threatening and he was demanding that I stop and shut up. And as I said, I haven't really developed my muscles. So I knew if it went to a fight, who the victor was. But thank God, listen, it's okay to serve just because you're scared. And you know, God will always make a way when there doesn't seem to be a way. And God's answer, you know, what was God's answer that day? Brother Chuck Jones, I couldn't believe it. He went and stood between me and the man. I said, oh, here we go. And Chuck said to the man, get out of here. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. That seems very... And all of a sudden, this big bad dude, he just, like, with his tail between his legs. I'm like, hallelujah. Look at that. Look at that. Listen. Just because you are afraid, just because you are timid, God is not asking all of us to be Mr. and Mrs. Macho Man. Amen? All he's asking is for some willing volunteers who are willing to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King who has all power. He says, all power is given unto me in earth and in heaven, and may we hang on and serve him. Amen. God does not need us, for he is the one in whom all things find their source and their existence. I want to make this point because I think it's so important. God does not need us. Theologians call this whole idea, the fact that everything finds their source and their existence and their continuance in God. Theologians, I give you a big word to put to your notes. Theologians call this the aseity of God. The aseity of God. God is independently self-existent. And he's independently self-sufficient. Oh, you know, sit down when you go home and just chew on that. He's independently self-existent. He's independently self-sufficient. He's the uncaused cause. He's the uncreated creator. He's the source of all things, the one who originated everything and who sustains everything that exists. He is the ever-present power that sustains all life. And so, you know what thrills me about all this information? He's my God. I know him personally. Does that excite you? To know that this God, this independently self-existent and independently self-sufficient God, he knows my name. Hallelujah. Jesus knows my name. And if you know him as your Savior, he knows your name, and all his resources are available for you to use to bring honor and glory to him. There is no one else like him. Amen. Yes, worship him. There is none else like him. This is the God we worship, and it is a privilege to know him and to serve him. Amen. He deserves our worship and our adoration. And I just want to ask those of you here this morning, as well as those who are listening to us, whether on radio or you may be watching us on the live stream, I just want to ask you this question. Have you started a relationship, a personal relationship with this God yet? Do you know him? This amazing God, the amazing thing is he is interesting in having personal relationships with us, young people, children, teenagers. This Almighty God is interested in having a personal relationship with you. He wants to talk with you every single day. Let us seize the opportunity.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.